Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And I think we indeed are going to hear from the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 6. Look at that. Right there. Well, I got a string in there, I guess. You there say amen?
Amen.
All right. I am going to start reading from verse 8, but we're going to be talking about Stephen today. And back in verse 5, if you're there, you can just skip up a couple of sentences to that. And I want to read this description of Stephen. It says, "This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit." A man full of faith and a man full of the Holy Spirit. We jump ahead to verse 8. It says, "Now, a man," and it also describes Stephen, "a man full of God's grace and power." So what do we know about Stephen? That he was a man of faith, that he was a man who was filled with God's Holy Spirit, that he was a man of power, and a man of God's grace. That's pretty good. Can I get a witness on that? You sign up for that? Ladies, you look for a man like that. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I hope you're a man like that, that these men, women would be looking for you. It says, "Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God.' So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they produced false witnesses who testified, 'This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs of Moses handed down to us.' And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, I am praying, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts as you had in the worship and the offering, Lord, and the announcements. And all along, Lord, and the prayers that have come forth, Lord, have all been on this theme, Lord, of people of impact, of people of change, of people that would see you working more directly in them and through them. Lord, I pray, Lord, you would continue to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you call us to greatness, Lord, that we would indeed see great power, that we would see great signs, great wonders, that we would see great truth, your truth, pour forth from this church, Lord, and that we would see things change. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I got a plan today, okay? This is going to get stiff today. This first transition, though, is going to be a bit of a jolt, okay? And I'm just kind of setting you up for that. It will come back, but I'm going to start talking off with something that would seem rather trivial. And life does seem trivial at times. Can I get a witness on that? That what we go through does not really seem to mount up. And so as I bring up this first thing, it is going to seem incredibly trivial. In fact, even as I am getting ready to show it, I'm going, how trivial does this sound? I'm loath to even go there at this point. But I got to do that to get where I'm going. I hate I truly hate the Denver Broncos. How trivial does this sound? Does this not just sound totally, what is he doing? Where is he going with this? But 2 years ago, Broncos picked this guy, Tim Tebow, as their quarterback. Heisman Trophy winner, national champ. And most of the people, most of the pundits, most of the ESPN guys and sports guys, they thought it was an incredible mistake. Picked him with the first round pick, 25th pick, I believe. Said he'd never cut it in the NFL. And the Broncos started off 1-4 this year, and they were written off. They're done. And the people and the fans of Denver were calling for Tebow. Tebow will be our savior. Tebow will come and will save the season. And there's a new ownership group who was not involved in picking this guy. And they put him in on the fifth game. And most of those same people who thought he'd never cut it figured that the Broncos were just throwing him under the bus because John Elway is a VP, and he came out of Stanford, and there's this new quarterback, or this quarterback's going to be coming into the draft, Andrew Luck from Stanford, that's going to change the quarterback in the NFL. Most people are saying, well, John Elway is just throwing the season under the bus, and that and he just wants people to get sick of Tim Tebow so they can pick Andrew Luck. But since taking the helm behind Tebow, the Broncos are 6-2. And they are tied with the Raiders atop the AFC West. And I tell you what, I hate the Broncos, but I dearly love this guy, Tim Tebow. And the reason is because he walks with God. That he is a man of God. And as we take and we learn about Stephen, that he is also a man who walked with God. That he was a man full of the power of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the grace of God, full of wisdom. And he transformed situations around him. Time frame of this story is about 3 or 4 years after the resurrection of Jesus. And Stephen had not walked. In fact, at this point, no one had walked long with the Lord. Aaron Buggs probably has been walking longer with the Lord than Stephen had. Sandra Heard, walking longer with the Lord than Stephen had. Many of you in this room have been Christians longer than Stephen had, and he walked in the Holy Spirit, and he walked in the power of God. And he had impact in the lives that were around him. And so, as we talk about Stephen today, I want you to put your picture in there. That you would be a person who walked with God. Stephen had such great impact among these Greek-speaking Jews that there was a great persecution that began against the church. That this run right up to that persecution. And as the Jews began to persecute the church, they began to scatter and run away from that persecution. It would be as if the gangs began to attack this church because this church had such a monumental impact in the drug trafficking and the gang activity around this church. And we began to get impacted and people began to scatter. But they would see a message of truth that would be scattered along with us, and that we'd see drug traffic being attacked where everybody left. And that's what happened with the Christians. The message of truth began to spread throughout the known world, and it was like an explosion of truth. And what they sought to destroy and contain, they just let loose. God is looking for people that would participate in that type of a work. I had somebody pray this morning. I'm praying that the Lord would use me in a mightier way. That you've come on the right day. Hallelujah. I read stuff like this and my heart quickens. I see stuff about Tim Tebow. I'm going to show you some of this. He's got on there Philippians 4:13, I believe, on his, And all through his college career, he can't do it in the NFL. They won't let him. But he had these scriptures on his cheeks. And Jesus 2.0 says at the bottom, now, I don't really like this, but says, like regular Jesus plus hair gel. I'm telling you, this guy is having an impact. This guy is making an impact. And somebody who was thought to be a discard because he champions Christ, I believe, is being used in a mighty way. And perhaps you have considered yourself a discard. And that if you would champion Christ, he would empower you. He would fill you with his Spirit. He would give you a message of truth. And see an impact in the lives around you. God is looking for people who want to have an impact, who want to make a difference. That's why we work here. I'm a first-generation Christian. Lisa's a first-generation Christian. Most of you are first-generation Christians. And as you are empowered with a message of impact, you would transform lives around you. I'm telling you, my kids' upbringing is so radically different than my upbringing. My kids are just different. And my kids get a parental notification. What do you call those things? A PM? PN? PC. Parental communication. And it might be like, oh, he got a C on a test. And I remember, we were talking about this the other day, I remember going to my government class when I was a senior. Mr. Balzer. And he says, Mr. Metz! I say, yeah, it was first period. And I'm like surprised. He's calling me up. He goes, I'm so surprised to see you. And I'm thinking, why? He said, we haven't seen you in 2 weeks. I said, oh, has it been that long? I was so radically different. But when I read about guys like that, I want to be a guy like that. I want to live my life as a guy like that to have impact in the community where I live, to have impact in your lives so that kids like my kids don't grow up like I grew up and they can have impact. Amen? Amen. All right, folks. It's going to get thick today because we are going to talk about being agents of change. Okay? All right. All right, I'm sorry about that herky-jerky start. Living for the Lord, that's what we're talking about. Stephen was living for the Lord. First half of verse 8 says, now Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. And I want to let you know this morning that if you want to be different, that it is God that will make you different. It is God that made Stephen different. It was the Holy Spirit working through Jesus, hallelujah, that empowered him. It was the Holy Spirit that empowered the disciples and the apostles to have impact and transform history. And that is available today. Stephen was full of God's power. And the word that we have here is dunamis. It means dynamite. Walking around filled with God's dynamite. Jesus promised it. He says, you will receive dynamite. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Would you say Holy Spirit with me, please? He says, you will receive power. You will receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when you're going to be my witnesses. You see a combo. There's a tie between the dynamite and the job. The dynamite and the work. You want the dynamite, you want the power, you got to be working for the Lord. Amen? Stephen was working for the Lord. The apostles were working for the Lord, and they walked in power. He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, we're fitting in on the ends of the earth part. But we can start being witnesses in our own homes. We can start being witnesses right here in City Heights or right here in San Diego. Stephen walked around in God's power. Second thing that we see how he walked was that he walked around in God's grace. God's grace is God's unmerited favor. God doing good stuff that you don't deserve. God done that for you? And I wonder, what does it look like? What does a guy look like walking around in God's grace? What does a guy look like walking around with God's unmerited favor? And I believe it looks like somebody walking around in the presence of God. And I'm wondering this morning if you walk around in the presence of God. I truly hope. You guys sense the presence of God this morning in our time of music,
yes.
Right? Worship?
Amen.
I'll tell you what. God was here last night in our time of prayer. Amen? In a mighty way. And I'll tell you what. Although I sense the presence of the Lord this morning, and I sense the presence of the Lord last night, in no way was this morning or last night the high point of my week with walking with my Lord Jesus Christ. And I truly hope that this morning, or if you came last night, is not your high point of the week in walking with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do I make it any better? I don't know how. Well, 2 weeks ago, I talked about how you can start your day lined up on the Lord, that you can present your praise to God, that you can present your person, yourself to God. And we went through this last night. And as I do that, I picture the Lord high and lifted up, as Isaiah did writes about in chapter 6. It says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And as I see the Lord high and lifted up, I give him praise. And as I'm praising him, I begin to see that I am not high and lifted up. That's a good place to start. Can I get a witness on that? So I see the Lord high and lifted up and me not. Like Isaiah said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. And I began to examine myself. So you present your praise, you present your person, then you present your problems to God. God, I am messed up. Anybody else messed up? Oh, yeah. I'm messed up. Present my praise, my person, my problems, and my people. And I'll tell you what, as I get my problems start flowing in and all your problems start flowing in, my people's problems, I start praying for them. And I pray for my family, lift up my wife, my kids. And then I present my priorities to God. Now, I'll tell you what, if you open your day, 15 minutes, might take you 8. Might take you 40. If you do those 5 things, you will grow in the presence of God in your life. Now, I'm telling you, he's there all day, every day. Amen? Let me just give you a little hint. God's infinite. Amen? So wherever you go, he is. You cannot get away from the presence of God. I know that is disconcerting to some of you. Oh, man, he's wherever I am. Yeah, that's right. He's there. But if you open your day with those 5 components of prayer, you will become more aware of his presence, and you can walk in his presence, and you will have highlights in your week that are bigger than this. And you can be a person of impact. You can be a person of power. Wherever you go, God's right there with you. You and God, man, that's a winning team. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. God's power is for display. God's power is to be used. It says, Stephen did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. All right. Anybody here ever owned a Porsche? How about a Vette? No Vettes, no Porsches. Scirocco? I had a Volvo DL. No, but it's like you're driving, cruising. I tell my kids, I tell Joe, you know, when he's an NFL player, he can buy me a Porsche Targa. Man, I always wanted one of those things. 911. Oh, my dad's secretary when I was a kid had one. And but you know what? She said, she had to drive around town. I could never get out of first gear. One gear. I can go 60 miles an hour in first gear. Can't get out of first gear. So many of us walk around in first gear, folks. God's power is not on display. It is for display. If you aren't using it, what do you need it for? He's saying, I am looking for people of impact. I will empower you if you step up. And he says, well, you don't really need it. You ain't using it. I'll pour it out on somebody who is. God's power is for display. Stephen is using it. Miraculous signs and wonders. There are those who said, oh, that's just for the apostles. I'm going to pour, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was just talking to the apostles. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore. Well, I guess Stephen didn't get the memo. And I guess the apostle Paul that raised people from the dead and did some pretty miraculous stuff, I guess he didn't get the memo either. Are you tracking with me? You know, I didn't get that memo. I want God to do miraculous things in me. And I hope you didn't get that memo either. I'm hoping that you want God to do some incredible things in your life, in your kids, in your neighborhood, in those schools. I mean, man, Aaron, how many kids go to your school? A bunch, right? See, the Holy Ghost just moving through you in power. Do you need that power? He says, you're going to receive power and you'll be my witnesses. It appears that God would empower anybody who starts working for Him. My question for you this morning is, who are you working for? Because you can work for you, or you can work for Him. We can work for ourselves. We can focus on our priorities, or we can work for the Lord and focus on His priorities. Amen? I have another story for you today. And it is another sports story. It is about Albert Pujols, who signed the third highest baseball contract ever, $250 million for 10 years with the Anaheim Angels. And why do I bring this up? This man is a 9-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champ, and 3-time league MVP. And this man is a radical man of God. I was listening to the Padres pregame one day, and you got the 9-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champ. Actually, they won it last year, so he was a 1-time world champ. And the 3-time MVP. And listen to the Padres, you know, pregame, which is, you know, not probably the most highest rated show on the planet, you know. And you're thinking, and they're talking, and they're trying to get anybody to come on the show. And they say, we got Albert Pujols coming on with us. And I'm like, man, how did these guys get Pujols? You know, why is Pujols taking his time and coming on San Diego radio? He's a Cardinal. Why are you going on the Cardinals radio, right? And I said, they give him the whole lead up. Yeah, he's a 9-time MVP, 9-time All-Star. How you doing today, Albert? And he says, I'm doing just fine, and I want to give glory to my Lord Jesus Christ, who has transformed my life and enables me to be a baseball player. And I said, that's why he's coming on this channel. They put a statue of him up this month. No, in November. Somebody had anonymously donated the money for it 2 years ago, and they've been building this statue. You want to know what it looks like? It looks like that. and they dedicated it, and this is what he said. There's going to be a lot of people asking, well, why is he not swinging the bat? Pujols told the crowd during his speech, that's to remind me it's not about me, but it's about Jesus Christ who gave his life so that we can have eternal life. And it's really easy to lose focus when you have millions of people telling you how great you are. Man, that just fires me up. When I hear Pujols get on the radio and say, I want to give glory to my Lord Jesus Christ, that is a man. I mean, he wasn't even touted in the minor leagues as being anybody special. Lisa's not even a big baseball fan. She likes baseball because Joe's playing Little League. And we went and saw the Cardinals play. She saw Pujols and says, that dude is awesome. It is the power of God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And he don't just give it out to Pujols, and he don't just give it out to the Apostle Paul. He don't just give it out to Stephen and the apostles. He will give it out to you. But the question is whose priorities do you have? Who are you working for? Because God's looking for people who had impact for him. Amen? I'm afraid I'm going to go a little long, folks. Is that okay? Only three people said, okay, I'll speed it up. All right. It is the truth that makes things different. It is God that makes things different, and the truth will transform situations. Verse 9 says, opposition arose. There was those who would stand against Stephen and against what he was doing. From the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, who were these Greek-speaking Jews. The truth will run into opposition. Pujols runs into opposition. If you stand for the Lord, you will run into opposition. Jesus said we would. And these guys, now these guys were from the synagogue of the freedmen. They were these Greek-speaking Jews. We talked about them last week. They're complaining about the distribution to the Greek-speaking widows. And we talked about that last week. You can go back and read the beginning of chapter 6. That's where we first meet Stephen. And what was happening was, is there were... Jews of the diaspora that were spread out all over the world would go into Babylon and go to Alexandria from all these persecutions, and they were moving back to the Holy Land, even like what we have today. And they would move back, and they didn't speak Hebrew. And so they were struggling to fit into the culture and to be accepted back in. And they would have these, they had their own church. It's kind of like we got a service going downstairs or class going downstairs in Spanish. I mean, we got people that come to the United States and they speak Spanish. Hang on, oh yeah. So what? We got people that come to this country and speak Vietnamese. Okay, yeah, so what? We got Vietnamese stores, we got Spanish stores, we got all kinds of stuff. All right, but think about it like this. What if you moved back to Vietnam and you were Vietnamese and you no longer spoke Vietnamese and you were dearly trying to fit back into your heritage and they didn't accept you? Oh, he's just an American. Like, I'm full-blooded Vietnamese, man. You don't speak the country. You don't eat food like us. You don't know how to cook our food. And you are moving home, and they rejected you. How would that make you feel? That's what these Jews felt. And they were working hard to fit back in. They had their own synagogue so they could look like the Jews. They're learning Hebrew. They're trying to do all this stuff to fit back in. And here's Stephen bringing a message that is in contradiction to the Jewish faith. And that would be an incredible threat. And they stood in opposition because it was also being received by a bunch of people. There was people receiving that truth and getting saved and leaving the fold. And for those people that were trying to line up on the Jewish faith and line up on the Jewish life, it's like, we can't have this. And they started to oppose what Stephen was doing because it was a threat to their priorities. God's priorities are always going to be a threat to your priorities. I don't know what your priorities are. Some of you might just want to get out of this neighborhood. Get me out of here, God. You know, Pujols grew up in Dominican. I'm sure a terrible neighborhood. Serve God. You could end up with $250 million. But if you won't, you're serving God, it won't matter. Because you'll be in the best place that He can have for you. God's priorities, God's plan is always going to be a challenge to your plan. And you're going to have a choice to make. Am I going to surrender my priorities and pick up God's? Am I just going to play a game? All kinds of people playing a game, trying to con God. You can con us, but you can't con God. You'll receive no power. I mean, if you ain't going to use it, you ain't going to get it. But if you're playing a game, you ain't never going to get none. The truth has a definite advantage. It says, they could not stand up against His wisdom or the spirit by which He spoke. These guys were attacking Him, bringing stuff against Him, but Stephen was way ahead. Stephen had a grasp of the truth. They had a shared background. They had a shared heritage. And they wanted to go this way, and Stephen's going straight to the Lord. And he said, all the precepts in your life are heading you in the wrong direction. And I have a pathway to freedom. I have a pathway to fullness. And I have a pathway to the Lord. And they could not stand against it. You get the truth working in your life, the enemy will not be able to stand against it. You can try real hard. You can start manipulating all kinds of stuff. But God's truth received God's power, and God's power had a platform among His people. Truth of God will give you a platform. Are you living God's life? Are you real? Are you causing anyone to notice you? Anybody writing home about you? People were noticing Stephen. They were trying to shut him up, keep him quiet. But the light was breaking through and the truth was breaking through and people were getting transformed, people were getting saved. How about you? Back to my boy Tim Tebow. He's in prayer. He will take a knee sometimes on the field, sometimes on the sideline. He does it so often that they call that Tebowing. They have a name for it. It is called Tebowing. It would be great if they had a thing called bugging. Yeah. Reeking. It is having such impact. It is making such change that there are those that would stand against it. He was on, actually he was not on, but Tebowing was on the O'Reilly Factor. And there were people that were saying, oh, he's just forcing people. He's delaying and he's distracted. He needs to stop at the NFL, needs to step in and have him stop his prayer. There are those that were so offended, that they mock him in the same way they mock Stephen. This guy right here, a player of the Detroit Lions, sacked him and in mockery kneeled to pray. Mocking him. Mocking his prayer. Mocking his God. As you stand for Christ in your life, there will be those who stand against you. Amen. Last Super Bowl. Tim Tebow and his mother, Pam, had an advertisement in the Super Bowl, pro-life. Incredible opposition. Before it even came out. If you stand for the truth, there will be those arrayed against you. and you will need the power of God. That's why it is available. Amen? Amen. So you can stop witnessing, or you can grab on the power and keep on going. Amen? Amen? All right, praise the Lord. The truth is something you can hold on to. They secretly persuaded some man to say, we've heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. And there are those that will work against the truth. Blasphemy, irreverence towards God, was punishable by death. They quoted scripture from Numbers 11:5, I believe I had it. I'm not going to show it to you. Their definition of blasphemy, though. Their definition of blasphemy, they used it against Jesus. Do you know that when you're accusing God the Son of blasphemy, your definition of blasphemy might be off a little bit? Can I get a witness on that? See, they had a definition of blasphemy that was keeping them away from God. Their intent was for them to draw near to God, but their definitions were putting barriers between them and God. And they were using those barriers to try to quiet down Stephen. Truth is a challenge. I mean, really, folks, how can you stand against miraculous signs and wonders? I mean, they're doing miracles. They arrested Peter and John. Arrested Peter and John for healing a paralytic. Get up and walk. Oh, you're under arrest. The guy is dancing around and praising God. You're under arrest. How can you stand against the miraculous signs and wonders of God? Because you can't handle the truth of God. Because you can't handle the message of God. I mean, if you see the miracles of God holding on to the truth of God and the truth of God laying a claim to your life, there are those who would say, I am my own. I'll do what I want. God has no claim on me. And for you to stop that, you got to reject the miracle. You have to reject the message of the gospel. Paul got it. If you don't get anything out of today except for this, grab onto this. You are not your own. You are not your own. You can think you're your own. You can fight to be your own. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Therefore, honor God your reasonable act of sacrifice. Romans 12:1. A life of worship, a life on the altar, a life of power and of impact. All right. Truth has its own reward. They had him on trial. They end up killing him, folks. Killing him, dead. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody kills you, you end up in heaven, you're not going to be sweating it. My wife will be, who's going to raise my children? Jesus says, I got it. I got you, I got them. Amen? Amen. All who were sitting there in the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling body, looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like that of an angel. They saw that he was at peace. They saw that he was in God's grace. He wasn't sweating it at all. Say, how could he not be sweating it? Jesus said, don't sweat it. He says, when you're brought before the synagogues, the rulers and the authorities, that's who the Sanhedrin was, the rulers and authorities of the movement, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourself. Stephen owned that promise. I'm not even worried. I got God's power. I got God's provision. I'm not sweating it. Don't worry about how you're going to defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And I think what Stephen is doing is just sitting back there relaxing. I mean, I'm not thinking he's belittling them or being at all non-humble or prideful. But I think he was waiting to see what God was going to do. This is a biggie for me, God. I know it's probably not much to you. But I'm waiting in anticipation and expectation to see what you are going to do. Your life like that? Talk about pool holes. Talk about Tebow. Perhaps Tim Tebow's greatest challenge was faced before he was ever born. See, his mom, it's not a great picture, by the way. I'm sorry about that. His mom, I'm just going to take that off. His mom was a missionary in the Philippines. In fact, the Tim Tebow Foundation still supports and works in an orphanage in Philippines, in the Philippines. And Albert Pujols works in the Dominican with kids with Down syndrome and gives away an incredible amount of money. But Pam Tebow was working as a missionary in the Philippines, and she was pregnant with Timmy, they call him, and she got dysentery from tainted water or food. It was bad. And they had to give her a ton of medication. And they said, you really need to have an abortion or you could die. And that's why they had that pro-life ad on the Super Bowl. And they alluded to the story. They didn't say what it was. But her life was in danger. Her life was in danger. And they said, you need to abort this child. I said, my God, does it roll that way? That I am living for more than right now, and I'm living for more than what's going on in my body, and my eyes are upon heaven, and what God does with me is okay. And that boy was born just fine. That boy became an NFL player. That boy is giving glory to God. And my question for you is, he is giving glory to God, I think, because of a legacy that was left to him by his mom. And what is the legacy that you leave for your kids? What is the legacy that you pour out for the people around you? Is it one of power? Is it one of being sold out? Is it one of intent? Are you an agent of change? You're just playing a game. Whose priorities are your priorities? I'm just working for me. God's got no hold on me. God's got no claim on me. I hope and pray that as I talk about Albert Pujols and I talk about Stephen and as I talk about Paul the Apostle and as I talk about Tim Tebow and Pam Tebow, I pray that your heart is tugged. I would sit and bawl. It would be manly bawling. I have tears rolling down my face, and I would think that I just don't touch them. Nobody's going to notice them. I responded to a message, a call to full-time ministry. I was saved 9 months. I don't know how long you've been saved. But the same God that called Stephen, the same God that will call the Apostle Paul, the same God that called Albert Pujols, and called Tim Tebow and Pam Tebow and called me, will call you today. If you would say yes. If you would say yes, Lord, I'll be an agent of change. Lisa, you want to come up here and grab the guitar, please? Perhaps you are here this morning and you are thinking, I am not even saved. I am so lost. I so need this message just so that I can have security. Well, you've come to the right spot today. Lord, as you lined up this morning, Lord, I'm thinking that there's some people that are here this morning, Lord, that need to come out of the darkness and into the light. It's not targeted towards that, Lord. But Lord, I still believe that you would speak and set the captive free. And as no one's looking around, And perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. And he's saying, you're lost. But you don't have to be. Perhaps he's saying, you don't have to be lost, and I'm going to do something incredible in you. I showed you those pictures of Tebow and of Pujols. The Lord speaking to your heart. He says, I just used the pastor to get him up there. But I want you to be like that. But for you to be like that, you got to give me your life right now. No more messing with priorities. No more playing with games. I'll save you. I'll save you from your life, but I'll give you mine. Now, there might be some other folks here that have been playing with games with the Lord a little while, and you already surrendered your life to the Lord. I'm not talking to you right now. For that person that's here this morning, lost in darkness, the Lord is reaching out his hand from heaven and saying, I will give you new life. Nobody looking around. But that's you this morning. I want to pray for you. But more than that, you need to be bold enough to say, God, here I am. I am throwing my old life away. Find me in this place. Lead me from this place. I never want to be the same again. No one's looking around, but the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning. I want to know if that's you. And right now, if you would just raise your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. The Lord is speaking to my heart this morning, right back here. Somebody else would say, that is me, right here. Hallelujah. Right here. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hands. You can put it down, bro. Lord Jesus, for these three men, Lord. For these three men, Lord, I pray, Lord. I pray just an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, an outpouring of your grace, Lord, and a call, Lord, to greatness, Lord. Lord, as you called me out of darkness and into light, Lord, and I just cast everything behind me, Lord, that I had, I pray that for these men, Lord, that they would, with reckless abandon, run after your throne and your priorities, Lord, that they would indeed be transformed in their lives. Mike, will you shut that door for me back there, please? Maybe you're here and you've been having a priority struggle. Your kingdom has been overshadowing the kingdom of God. And the Lord is saying, let's not play any more games. I'm calling you to more. I have gifted you for more. You've been ripping me off and you've been ripping yourself off, and we had enough of that. And he's being a little stern with you this morning. I don't know where this is coming from. Well, I assume my trust is coming from the Lord. But what in my notes? He's saying, enough, enough, enough. I got real work to do. Real people are in danger around you. Enough playing games. I have called you to more. You know my voice. It says this morning, I'm tired of waiting. It says, come and I will equip you. I will equip you for an adventure. Don't sell yourself short. I know your past. Moses couldn't even talk. Stutter. I'll empower you. I know your past. I know your future. You're here this morning and the Lord is just going enough to you. And he's saying, no more games, no more playing. Let's be real. I got real work to do. Got some people downstairs being trained right now for real work. Hallelujah. Stepping up. No one's looking around. Lord says to you this morning, enough. Time to get busy. I got something for you. Lord, speak in your heart. Just slide your hand up if you would. Here. Anybody else says, that's me. There. See you? Right here, yeah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Sorry I'm so long today. Lisa, would you sing a song?